And good morning. It is KBOO, KBOO Portland. 1 minute before 10 o'clock, we're about 15 minutes away from Flashpoints. Today, a closer look at the Kurds in Syria with New York Times Magazine author Robert F. Worth. Coverage of Yemen and the role of the U.S. in a deadly air campaign led by the Saudis, and the Election Crimes Bulletin with Dennis Bernstein and Greg Palast. At 11 today on Between the Covers, host Ken Jones interviews Zora O'Neill, author of the new book All Strangers Are Kin, Adventures in Arabic and the Arab World. And at 11:30, you can hear the film show with SW Concert and Jen Chavez. Jen. Coming up next, though, it's Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary. Stay with us. And thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Rags to Riches Jazz Concert and live broadcast on Saturday, August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Holiday Park in Portland. Swing dance lessons start an evening of live music with breaks included for short informational speeches about the life and history of jazz in the early 20th century. Again, that's Rags to Riches Jazz Concert and live broadcast on Saturday, August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Holiday Park between Northeast 11th Avenue and Holiday Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. It is Thursday, August 25th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We have a little bit of weather and a lot of news today. Coming out of the camp at Cannonball Village in North Dakota, there are very few words, but an enormous message. That is that First Nations are no longer isolated reservations, but people living very, very far apart and suffering one outrage after another. Their environment, their habitat, the place where their ancestors have lived for thousands of years, it has come under attack in many different ways. What the flashpoint here for this particular encampment on the river is just one amongst many, but the oil company that wants to put a pipeline through has shown such little disregard and such utter contempt for the people whose lives it will without any doubt, lives that will be ruined, that will be scattered to the four winds. And we have talked about this. It's Sacred Stone Camp. More and more people are arriving every day. The police presence has grown larger and ever more vicious. Take a look at YouTube. There are some astonishing films to have the Sioux Nations on horseback confronting the police. I recommend that, and also they desperately need your support. I don't think I'm supposed to say that on the air, but it's really come down to the crunch. We're going to be trying to speak today. As I said, it's very hard to get any kind of communication in or out of the camp, but we are going to try to get Joseph Whiteyes. He's one of the youth directors, coordinators. And he's on the phone right now. We have a lot of other news, but this is definitely front and center. And we'll try to connect you up with some of the highlights. This also has a lot to do with our very own Jordan Cove, which we still have yet to take a stand. Right now, however, we are standing in solidarity with the people, the Lakota, the Dakota, Sioux Nations, many, many First Nations gathered here at the Sacred Stone Camp to say that it's now no more of this from oil companies, from the government and the white nation that has come down like an iron fist on First Nations. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. Hello, are you there?
Hi, how's
you? Joseph, hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. It's a little bit rough, but that's okay. I understand that the situation there is a little bit rough. You are the youth coordinator director. You are working with young people to direct their energy to keep the fires burning. So tell us how the people you work with, the young people there, are responding to this huge threat to their future.
Yeah, so a little bit about myself. My name is Joseph Whiteyes. I'm from Cheyenne Eagle Butte, South Dakota, on the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribal Reservation. The reservation is located right underneath Standing Rock. And I've been involved with a lot of youth organization and community organizations, and I think back in 2014 when I really got involved with the Keystone Pipeline fight. I've been getting youth organized, getting them trying to stand up for their rights, and really teaching them cultural events as well. But as of now, I'm currently living at the Sacred Stone Camp. I've been there since April 2nd. I've been working with Bobby Jean Three-Leg. She's another youth organizer, really great woman from Standing Rock. She lives in a small community. A little bit about her. She organized three runs. One run was from her community to Mobridge, South Dakota, which was 11 miles. Then she She organized another run to Omaha, Nebraska, to deliver a petition to the Army Corps of Engineers headquarters in our regional area. And then we, after that, you know, somebody came up to us with an idea of running a petition to Washington, D.C., to the Army Corps headquarters and, you know, possibly speaking with Obama. So me and Bobby Jean were sitting around and we, you know, we got a list of names of people who wanted to go. And we just kicked it off and headed out. It took us 28 days to get to Washington, D.C. Altogether, we arrived on April 5th. We were able to get a meeting on a short notice with Major General, Secretary of the Department of Interior, and a bunch of BIA officials. And, you know, our youth, you know, really shared their stories on why they were running against the Dakota Access Pipeline and, you know, what their thoughts were, what their views were, and, you know, how they thought the U.S. government, you know, wasn't doing their job as much as they should.
And for that matter, the BIA has not been all that it was intended to be, the BIA, Bureau of Indian Affairs. Tell me again, what was your nation? I wanted to be clear and make sure listeners know what nation you are.
Yeah, my... on my reservation, we have four Lakota nations. Me, myself, I'm Sihasapa. They're called Blackfeet, translated into English. Mm-hmm. So that's who I am. I'm Blackfeet.
There is so much history here that right now that flowing through your blood and that of the young people that you are working, coordinating, kind of marshaling energies and really taking a stand on the reservation. What changes this pipeline, the Dakota Access Pipeline? This is going to bring. If it went through, which it is not, but nonetheless, what would life look like where you live if this thing goes under the Missouri River, as they say it's going to?
Yeah, so this pipeline was originally supposed to go 45 feet underneath the river, but they moved it to 90 feet underneath the river. And, you know, when it comes to oil pipelines, gas pipelines, and any other type of pipeline, it's never about if it's going to break, it's about when it breaks, you know, because Keystone 1 already in South Dakota broke in Freeman, and that soaked 17,000 gallons of oil, so the lamestream media says. And, you know, in North Dakota alone, there was 300 spills back between 2014 and all the way up to now. And, you know, there were already some spills in the Missouri River. And to the Lakota people, you know, we really stress that water is life, because you're born in it when your mother... You know, when you're inside your mother, you know, we use it in all of our ceremonies that we use. We have seven ceremonies, and each one of those, we use water. And, you know, our bodies are made up of more than 70% water, you know, and it's just, you know, it's a medicine to us, and it's a medicine to the people, you know, like we've been stressing water is life.
Yeah, and spirit. It's part of what holds up people together and heals people as well, and the young people you're working with are really understanding that in some important ways. What message do you want to get out to the rest of the country, and you know, young people in their 20s out here on the West Coast, because we have this Jordan Cove that they want to build a terminal right on the coast, right in an earthquake zone, and it's a remote area. It's very hard to get people to pay attention to it. So what's your message for people here on the West Coast, for your brothers and sisters?
Me as an organizer, nonviolent direct action, you know, I really stress people to do direct action in a nonviolent manner. Because, you know, it's good to be there present watching it on TV. It's good to be praying. But you got to also remember, if you want something stopped, you got to meet this halfway, and you got to physically put yourself, you know, in those positions to, you know, stop whatever you don't want happening. And, you know, with the Sacred Stone Camp and the Red Warrior Camp down in Cannonball, North Dakota, you know, we have over 1,000 campers there now. A lot of them are indigenous, and we have some non-native allies. And, you know, I'm just stressing that people, you know, show their support through, you know, writing support letters to the camp. I don't have the address right now, but if you,
I'm sure that you repeat, people write Sacred Stone Camp and Lakota territory. It'll get there. But we will find an address, mailing address. We've got all that information. We've got a website too where people who want to support the camp because they're feeding an awful lot of people every day.
Yeah.
And people need bail. They get arrested. We have to, you know, it's important to get them out of jail as fast as possible, back on the front lines. Final note before we let you go then.
You know, I just encourage everyone to get out to Sacred Stone Camp. You can go to the webpage at sacredstone.org. You know, right there it has all the information up to date. You know, we are looking for legal observers. We are looking for trained people in nonviolent direct action. And most of all, we're just asking for prayers from the people that, you know, because prayer is stronger, you know, when people are together rather than an individual prayed by himself. And, you know, for those people out there who don't pray, you know, just, you know, send your voices up to us and support.
That's what people are doing. And ever more creative ways to take direct and equally powerful indirect action. And this is an enormous movement. Tribes from all across North America are converging. And the government, the white government, doesn't really know quite what to do. And let's say on that note, think about Jordan COVID, think about where we live here in Cascadia. We got a huge heat wave at the very tail end of the show. I want to just sneak that in. 92 degrees today and 94 tomorrow. And night's cool around the 50s and 60s. Not much wind driving things. This has been Cascadia for Thursday, August 20th.